Hey, welcome to my podcast. My name is Dr. Brendan McCarthy. I am the Chief Medical Officer of Protea Medical Center in Chandler, Arizona. Thank you for tuning in. It means a lot to me. I'm excited for today's episode. We're going to discuss oral contraceptives and the impact it has on your health and how we can make it different and how we can help long-term prevent the impact it may be having negatively on you. But before we do get into that, if you wouldn't mind doing me a favor, reach down there and just hit subscribe for me and let's get started. Medicine is broken. It's broken. Let's fix this together. In these moments, we get together, we sit down, we do these episodes. This is an opportunity for us to come together and to create change in the healthcare system that is happening around the world. You know, I know where you are right now listening. You may be in Kansas City, or you may be in Honolulu. You could be in Perth. You could be in Dublin, London. You could be anywhere in the world. Cape Town. The one thing we all have in common is this, is that medicine is broken for you. And if you read your comments throughout the reels that we get, and you read what's being written from people around the world, women around the world are having the same experience. We've all been given these biases by our, I don't know, where we are, where we live, our region, that our healthcare system is better than theirs, or this one's better than theirs, or this one's that. The truth is in your comments, in the reels. I'll hear stories from women in Australia that mirror stories of women in Canada. I think if we were to translate this podcast into different languages, we would start getting people from other countries communicating the same frustrations and concerns. So this is not hyperbole when I say medicine is broken. Is it hyperbole when I say let's fix it together? No. You may not be a doctor where you are sitting now. I know. But you are someone with power. We all have power. And it's the choice we use on how we express it. I like to think the podcast that I do with you right now is an opportunity for me to educate and to share with you other ways of doing things. And I'm not going to share them based upon my opinion or based upon my whim, but I'm going to share with you why I think the way I think. I always did. I always will. I won't change. I'm still this person. We will come together and we will discuss what has been shown to be effective and helpful. But more than that, we'll show a different way of thinking about healthcare. When you go to your doctor and your doctor sits in that room and their goal is to move you through the room quickly because of a financial concern on the part of their boss, the business they run in, that's not practicing medicine. And over the time that we've become more of a business-based approach, and even in countries where healthcare is subsidized by the government, it still is commoditized. It is still considered a dollar sign. If a woman comes into my clinic and she has $100, say, I'm just saying this randomly, she has $100 and she has a complex case, do I give her $100 worth of care? Sit for a minute with me in this moment and feel what I just said. If a woman comes to my clinic with $100 who's hurt, do I give them $100 worth of care? No. There'll be those doctors who work in those settings and they'll say, we give the best care. And I would say this to the person who comes into your clinic or into those clinics who is poor, who doesn't have enough money, and then the care that they would receive in a different setting where money's not an issue, where that person has the gold star insurance policy or whatever it is they have, we know there's a disparity of care. There's a difference between the two. Some things transcend money. Many things transcend money. or dollar sign. The one thing that I hold near and dear to my heart is the person in front of me in that moment in that room. All dollar signs have to fall away. In the moment that someone gives you their trust and gives you their vulnerability, that is when it should summon from you as a physician the whole of you as a person into that room without hesitation, without holding back. Nothing should hold you back. That's my personal philosophy on medicine. How that impacts you is that you can start holding your care providers to a higher standard. You could start asking for more. Not asking for more in the sense that it never works when we, you know, do it combatively. I don't believe in being combative. But I believe in being informative and caring. And just asking from a place of that vulnerability, like, I need better help, please. I need help. This is my life. Is this worth your time, your energy? Of course. This is my life. I don't know if I'm wording this well. This is something that sits in my heart a lot. And I think about a lot. This is not the episode, by the way. This is just something I just came out. I was thinking about it the past few days. I think about it a lot. I have a policy in my practice never to do a phone consult with someone unless in certain circumstances. It's very rare that I'll do something over the phone. Because what if I have to tell someone bad news? It's very inexpensive to have my medical assistant call people. It's actually cheaper for me to call people really quick on the phone and tell them their labs, tell them you're fine, not fine. It's super cheap, super easy, but super, super bad. What if I have to tell them something? There's a relationship in that moment with that person. Their trust is with me and I need to be in that room with them. It should not be about cost. And I could point to how this cost issue has become like a cancer in the medical system. So when I say medicine is broken, let's fix it. That's what we're going to do together. That's what this podcast is. Today, I want to talk about oral contraceptives. Man, I had no idea when I did this podcast how much of what I would say would be parsed out and read through and interpreted, or how many times I would say something would trigger people. And one of the things that trigger people a lot is when I talk about contraceptives. Okay, let me step back a moment and talk about the history of contraceptives as I see it and know it, and where it is today as I see it and know it. And please hold back. Give me grace for a moment with this. Please, I'm asking for grace. I want you just to hear me and feel where I'm coming from with this before you get upset. Because people get very upset when I talk about oral contraceptives. Very upset. And I understand they're upset. I truly do. Just bear with me a little bit, please. Give me grace and hear me through. Oral contraceptives, you know, started back 50 years ago or something. You know, in the 1940s and 50s and 60s, they started developing them and everything and putting them out there in the market. And it was such a huge deal for women to be able to control reproduction. It made a big difference with the women's ability to work at a job because they were not getting pregnant regularly. Like they had some more control over it. They were able to plan the timing of their families. It made a difference for them with their ability to kind of navigate through the workplace. And that's important, that women are able to control their reproduction. Now, there are those out there who have, you know, religious belief systems, and I get it. You know, I get it. I get you. I hear you and I see you. I'm not at all going to argue it. I'm just going to say this is what it is, and this is what it's meant for those people. I understand yours. I get you and I hear you. I'm not going to argue it or invalidate it. I'm just going to tell you what these are the reasons, and this is what is done for that population. So let's speak to them. So it has helped these women with family planning, and has helped these women have their jobs and maintain them and figure out the times that they want to have children. And that's important. The thing is about it is that oral contraceptives started getting other uses added on to it, more than just what it was originally made for. And now it's being used for anything associated with an endocrine irregularity in a woman, anything, you know, headaches around your period, birth control. acne around your period, birth control. Pain with your period, birth control. PCOS, birth control. Premenopausal symptoms, birth control. Anything they can think of. And the question then becomes like, you know, is that what birth control was for? So let me step back a little bit. So birth control originally was for reproduction, and they put it out there on the market, and it worked, and they've adjusted over time. True. And now they're using it for a lot of off-label use. So the question you're asking me is like, Brendan, what are you having a problem with birth control? Because those are all good things you just listed for me. These are reasons why we like birth control. It helps with our periods. It helps with menorrhagia. It helps with headaches. It helps with acne. Brendan, it helps me prevent getting pregnant before I want to. Dr. McCarthy, why are you against oral contraceptives? I want to tell you right now, I'm not against any of the things I just listed. I do firmly believe that a family should start when they're ready. You know, and I believe that. I believe children should come into a world where they feel welcome. You are welcome right here. I love my dog so much. You can tell I'm a parent of three children. They're adults now because I'm able to talk and have my dog jumping on me at the same time. I can have mayhem happening. I just keep my train of focus here. I want you to have all those things. I do believe in that. And I do believe that we should manage your symptoms and we should take care of you with dysmenorrhea, painful periods, cramping, and with headaches. And I do feel we should help with all these symptoms with PMS and PMDD. I do believe that. I know that. Where I have a problem is that this tool they use is not a good one. It's a horrible one, actually. I'll give you all the reasons why in just a moment. I'm not going to leave you hanging. I'm just going to tell you all the reasons why they're bad. So I want you to know that I like and I know we need to treat. It's not that I like, because I don't like people having PMS. And I don't like people having all these issues. I want to care for these things. There are people out there that say you shouldn't have birth control because it's their personal philosophy that women should not engage in intercourse unless they have a child. That's their belief system. And they can have their own podcast. This is mine. There are people out there that feel that when you are sexually active without contraceptives or you're sexually active, you should become pregnant. I don't agree with that. That is not the place where I stand. There are those who feel that you shouldn't take medication for PMS and PMDD or cramping or acne. I'm not that person either. I'm your doctor. Maybe not personally, but I'm a doctor. And I bear with me. I made a whole PowerPoint on this and cited it. I haven't looked at it once. This is horrible. I prepped for this. I spent a lot of time prepping for these because it's so important. And I haven't looked at it once. It was so logical. Let me step back a little bit. Why is that I don't like birth control? Because when I prepped this, I had some great ideas of how to explain it. So I have to go back to look at my PowerPoint notes, okay? I shouldn't do everything off the cuff because I forget some clever thing I came up with the other day. I'm like, oh man, I should use that. And I totally don't want to forget. So why do they use birth control? Birth control, oral contraceptives in the clinic with women is like duct tape. Okay? We just slap that duct tape on. You have headaches, duct tape. You know, they slap the tape on things. Is
the super strong waterproof tape. That can instantly patch, bond, seal, and repair.
That's what birth control is. And they just slap it on them and you're on your way. So you have headaches? Birth control. PMS? Birth control. You have depression on your period? Birth control. Heavy period? Birth control. Acne, perimenopausal symptoms, hirsutism, PCOS, birth control, birth control, birth control. Slap it on there and out the door and you get your bill. And you say, Brendan, why is that a problem? Because it doesn't address the cause of any of those things. Birth control does not address the cause of any of those things. It'll stabilize the patient in the room with you. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm not against stabilizing that person. But I am against doing a half-assed job. The patient presents to clinic with PCOS. Why do they have PCOS? I'm here to answer the hard questions. Any monkey can prescribe you oral contraceptives. And go to school this long to become a monkey. I am here to do the heavy lifting, the hard work with you. And I may get it wrong, but damn it, that doesn't stop me from trying. It shouldn't stop us from trying. Medicine saves so much money by slapping that flex tape. Flex tape? Slapping that flex tape on you. And laugh, because otherwise if I don't laugh, I'm going to cry. They slap the duct tape or flex tape on you, send you out the door, and they keep you on it the rest of your lives. How many of you out there were a teenager when you were put on oral contraceptives because your periods were so bad, your headaches were so bad, you couldn't go to school? And then I'm asking you, did your doctor ever bring you back in and say, okay, once I got you stable on oral contraceptives, let's figure out what's wrong? What I'm saying here sounds heretical, doesn't it? Like I'm speaking heresy. I am. Medicine is broken. This is how we fix it. This is how we fix it. The hard work. So they slap the flex tape on you because cheap, lazy, easy, in and out the door. They get paid. And they have a moral sense of, I feel good about myself because your symptoms are gone. But in the back of my mind always, and I hope in the back of their minds, they feel the same way. That's not really addressing the problem. It's just putting it off. Because when she comes off her contraceptives, it's still there. There are many doctors that will watch this video right now and get angry. They'll be triggered. And we become triggered as human beings when we experience shame. When our inadequacies are pointed out to us, we become triggered. Defensive. I don't know how else to do this other than pointing it out. I don't want to trigger shame. I don't want to have doctors yelling and posting awful things. That happens. I get it. I want to do this in a way that helps them change. I'd rather do these videos in a way that helps them see, oh yeah, you're right. I really should do better. I still am trying. I know this video probably won't do that. Probably make them feel angry, triggered. They'll say, PCOS can't be treated that way. PMS can't be treated that way. This is how we treat it. You get birth control. That's the solution. You're talking imaginary stuff. Maybe. Maybe. What if I'm right, though? I do this 20 years. 20 years. I love this work. I love this work. Whenever I get onto a subject that touches me like this, and one that I feel the value of it and the weight of it, I sometimes go further than I expected to. And this is that one. This is one of the big ones. I had no idea it was going to be like this when I started it. I didn't realize it would evoke a lot of these things that have been percolating in the back of my head. I always have a script. I always have a PowerPoint I work off of to get a plan out there and do it in a structured way. But today I didn't really even look at it till halfway through. Maybe I don't even remember. So I want you to know that this material is important to me. So Justin and I are going to work on this. We're going to have it separated into two parts. Today's just part one. Tomorrow will be part two, or next week. Sorry. Next week we'll release part two. So please tune in next week for part two, and I will see you then.